You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Judges in chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we have opened thy word, looking to you to help us in every way, that we might have the understanding that honors you, that gives us the advantage, and Father, that would be able to put it into practice, to have all the benefit. And Father, we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. So, in the light of our looking at things here in the Judges and all of that, and we shared together that Israel, because of their unbelief, ends up going down the tubes into idolatry and that kind of thing. Now, and in the process, the nations, they're being defeated. Before they were winning, now they're being defeated. And therefore, sliding if I can to chapter 3, in the light of what we did, chapter 2 and that. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove, to put to the test. All, and that's that little word, verb, to prove, put to the proof, put to the trial, on trial. I'll slide up to chapter 2, verse 22, that through them I may prove, put to the test, same verb. Verse chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know. In other words, as the history goes on, that Israel might know all the ways of Canaan, verse 2 of it, that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least, of which such as have not known nothing. In other words, to teach them. You've got to know, understand war. War is part of human existence. And as you think of it, if you would, here's our humanity. And remember, everything before there's no stars, there's no universe like that. God created the planet Earth, and then he put all of that around it as decoration. That's decoration. It isn't about planet Earth. It's about humans on planet Earth. So isn't the Earth. Here's everything on creation. Look, we go from the James Webb and telescope out there off of Mars and all of that. And we can search whatever. When we're all done, we always have to come back home, back to Earth, where humans are. The whole ball game is centered around the humans who live on planet Earth. When Adam and Eve sinned, God in his grace touched all of the creation around us. He cursed the ground, et cetera, the stars, everything, asteroids and everything. You had a whole thing is uneasy. Now, go with me, please, to catch this. Over to Romans. And in Romans in chapter 5, Christ died on the cross for the sin of the world, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ died on the cross. Chapter 5, picking up, please, going to verse 12. Remember, Adam sinned. In Adam's fall, we sinneth all. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin, that's Adam, entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. Sin. So sin is the problem. We're all born disconnected from God, spiritually dead. That's sin. When Adam sinned, it affected everything in his body. He died spiritually, and all of humanity going to come out from him died spiritually. So they're born spiritually dead. Having said that, all of us, then you go up to chapter 5, verse 9. God died on the cross to make a wonderful, wonderful transition. Chapter 5, verse 9. Moreover, then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So if when we were enemies, God sought to save us, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved, how much more the benefit to know him and honor him. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and God, as you know, is the Creator. Our declaration pronounces it. That's why we're different than all the world, all the nations of the world. We're different. A different declaration, all of that. No one has that. It says something about the Judeo-Christian background. God is our Creator, and therefore created in his image and likeness. Here's Adam born. In Adam, all of creation. Here we are as proof of that. Now, all of us humans that have come out of Adam are dead spiritually. But Christ died to save every single human being that is born on planet Earth. He died to save them. That's what he did. Therefore, dealing with Adam and Noah and all of that back then, doing that, can't we just quit, have the Genesis flood, get it over with and start again, all good? No, you can't. Why can't you do that? Because all of the people in Adam that God has created that have to be born all the way to the end of the millennium, they have to be born. The history has to finish its course. So why can't we just stop the war and stop all the conflicts? Why can't we just stop them? Because it has to be finished. All the humans have to be what? Say, be born physically, that they have the potential to be saved. That's what he did. He doesn't say, oh, well, I died for this 75 million of them, and well, maybe I don't have time, I'll make it 50 million. He has to finish all that he started, all that he has in mind. He has to finish it. Therefore, the conditions on planet Earth and all around it have to stay where they are. What are the conditions on planet Earth? They are in conflict with God. Remember Genesis 3:15? Seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, etc. Believers, you need to be saved. Adam and Eve were saved. Abel was saved. Cain is not saved. And the mass of people in the days of Cain and Noah are not saved. They're not saved. So we got it's a war. It's a conflict. You have to understand, darkness and light and darkness, evil and good, right and wrong, etc. Death and life. It's all there. It's the way it is. Now, it's our life. It's our world. It's our world. It isn't in harmony. It isn't at peace. Therefore, keeping that in mind, if you can, and therefore, in the light of darkness and light and all of that, there's no neutrality. There's no neutrality. We'd like to have neutrality, but there isn't any neutrality. And everything. Most of us on planet Earth, depending on our backgrounds and everything, we have our little worlds we live in. But all around us are politics, countries, bugs, diseases, everything is going on. Eating and being eaten. It's all over. But we don't feel it because it just isn't in our particular world, our circle where we're living. But it's all there. So to say the world is at peace, where? Where? You want to find it? Find where it is. Everything's in conflict, light with darkness, etc. And you have it. Now, having said that, and then you have the wonderful, wonderful problem of Adam's sin. We all are dead, born dead, spiritually dead. And so our bodies represent, our physical bodies are born disconnected from God, but rightly connected to the person inside. And the person inside is there. And the body that you live in, as we've shared last time in that, your body is at war. It's at war. And the bad guys, the bad germs, and all the bad bugs are there, and they're all there. And they're there when you go to bed tonight. They're all busy, busy, busy. Tomorrow morning when you go to whatever school or work, whatever, they're busy, busy. Never stops. Never stops. As long as you're winning the war inside, the good guys, good germs and that bacteria, as long as they're winning, you'll feel healthy. The minute they start to lose in the war, you'll feel sick. Sick. When does it quit? It never, never quits. When do the germs stop? When do you tell your system to have a perfect, wonderful, healthy, every single germ, bacteria, etc.? It's wonderful. Not in your body, or mine. It's not so. So not only is our body reflecting continuous war, no neutrality, but our old nature inside is there. And our old nature doesn't change. Our old nature is at war with God. It doesn't want to be saved in God's wonderful way for God's honor and glory. It's our old nature. It's our pride. It's all of our selfness. And we want it. We like what we have. What we have when we have it, as we have it, and we're comfortable. And it's enough. God, wherever you're doing, whatever, leave me alone. But we're at war. So at war with God. There is no neutrality, as we said. The germs are there. Everything is there. And the soul and spirit is at war. Your old nature is busy, as you're going to see. Now, remind yourself. Now, so here's all the war. Over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's a wonderful thing to be saved, to know the Lord as your Savior. And here is a full statement along that line. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, prized, privileged people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember, darkness, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And verse 10, which in time past were not a people, you were not like that, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. So you were against God, now you're for God. You got saved. That was the whole point of why God has waited for you to get born and to come to know him as your Savior. Verse 11, what is the process? Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You've got a problem inside, and that problem keeps going, and lust. And the word lust there has to do with the desires which seek to attach themselves to us. The desire, your human desires in a thousand ways. The object is to go and attach, to lock on, to possess, to lust, to have something, and to want it and go after it. Whatever it is. And you do that. That's your lust. It's your war. At war. God wants one thing. Your old nature doesn't want that. So you got a war going on. You never had the war till you got saved. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in the light of your old nature, in Peter chapter 1, verse 14, just picking up the thought, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, looking at the little word lust each time so we can see it, the former lust in your ignorance. You just didn't know any better, didn't know any different, and everything seems okey-dokey. Now, having said that, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, before I read chapter 4, come back over to chapter 2 and let me pick up, if I can, verse 12. Remember, there's a war. You come to know the Lord as a Savior, and you never had it. You'd have a person resident, God, and God is not the same, want the same things. You want one thing, God wants another. Verse 12. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation, your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or supreme, etc., etc. Now, and sliding over if I can, go over now for time's sake, go over to chapter 4. With that little bit in mind, you want to do right, but now the people, everything around you is changed. All of a sudden you become a light in the darkness, and the darkness is not comfortable with that light in the middle of them. Now, having said that, picking up please in chapter 4, if I can, in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, in the lust, back again, the lust of men, but to the will of God. So if I get saved, I have war on my heart. The war on my heart is against the lust, all the stuff that wants to say God has one thing, will do one thing, and my old nature says another. Sliding over to chapter 4 and in verse 3. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh by the lust of men, but to the will of God. For our time past of our life may suffice us to have brought the will of the Gentiles. We used to live like everybody else did, in the unsaved state, in the state of death, in darkness. And we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them, to the same extent of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, we just read that in chapter 2. Here it is again. The world, when you got saved, the world of darkness, you came to work, and you're a little light, and everything changed. You're changing, and they're going to see it in a good, wonderful way, hopefully. And in the process, all of that's going to happen, and they're going to speak evil of you. There's a war. You went and what? You used to be in the dark, unsaved, on their side. But now you got saved, you're on the other side. So it isn't comfortable anymore. You're on the other side. There's a war. If there's no war and we don't understand, well, we can't answer all the problems that exist in and by humanity. Now, Having said that and keeping that in mind, in verse 5 of chapter 4, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. In other words, you became saved, the world is going to get after you, but God is for you. It's a wonderful thing to get saved. You change sides, as it were. You change sides. Now, having said that, over to Galatians, and in chapter 5. In Galatians in chapter 5, picking up, please. Right over, remember, we're looking at the lust that war against your soul. And when you get saved, people know it, and it isn't the same. People see differently about you, think differently about you. Chapter, wonderfully so. It should be that way. Hopefully, chapter 5. Picking up, please. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, Spirit of God, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're going to walk with God, you're on God's side, you're going to be on God's side. And as you exercise God's side, you're going to find, we just read it in Peter, they don't like it. The people on the other side don't like that. They're in the dark. Darkness doesn't appreciate light. And thus, death doesn't appreciate life. So now, verse 17, 4, problem. What happened when I got saved? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, opposite, against each other, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. And the simple life you had in every kind of way in the world, you get God gets saved, and you change. And you change in many good ways because you're different. You're on the other side of the fence. You're walking in the light, not in the dark. In the dark, anything goes. But in the light, anything doesn't go. It just doesn't go anymore. I'm in the light. So what you guys do, you go do it. I'm not comfortable. I'm in the light. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the process, so there's no middle ground, no neutrality. Let me make that simple, if I can. Over, if you can, please, to Luke chapter 11. Luke in chapter 11. And may I go directly? Chapter 11, picking up the thought in verse 23. 11 and 23. I'm going to pick up the statement in the light of the context. Going directly to verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. There is no neutral. You're either for God or against God. You're either in the dark or you're in the light. You're either opposing God's wonderful grace or you're not. Either you're in fellowship with God, Galatians 5:17, the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. Either you're going to thank God and look to God, or you're not. You're going to do it. There's no neutrality. Hang on. Look at Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, picking up in verse 51. 12 and 51. Suppose ye, said the Lord, that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. I didn't come. I came to save whosoever that would believe. no matter what dynasty they're with, no matter what family they're with, no matter what background is, he came to save the whosoevers that are all lost. They're all lost, and the one, each of them need to be saved, no matter where they are and whom to whom they belong. Now, if I can, verse 52. From henceforth, then, shall be five in the one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided in 53 against the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wow. And in the process, I didn't come to send peace. I came to save. When you got saved, and some of you had this experience in some form or other, you get saved. Your parents could have been who knows what background or whatever they are, and if they religious or whatever. And you get saved, truly saved, and you start coming home and you're sitting dinner and tell them you got saved. You receive the Lord as your personal Savior, and God has given you his wonderful relationship to who he is. They look at you, say, whatever your background, whatever their background is, they aren't going to, unless they're hungry, unless they're seeking. Otherwise, what are they going to do? They're going to tell the believer to cool it. Now, don't you bring up that anymore. Whatever you did, who'd you talk to? What have you been reading? And then shut up. Don't say that again, see. They'll even kick you out of the house. Lose. People have lost relationships. I always tell them, hang in there. Hang in there. Honor God. Stay healthy. And in due season, give them every opportunity to see that you're the better man, the better woman. You're a saved person. And if anyone cares about the parents, I didn't care about mom and dad till I got saved. And then I started caring. My brothers and sisters, I didn't care till I got saved. When I got saved, I started to see the whole thing different. And I'm better. I'm a better man, a better woman, et cetera, boy or girl. Now, having said that, over to Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, picking up, please, and you'll catch it, again, in the context, verse 30, 12:30, Gospel of Matthew. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He's either with me or he's not with me. That's what he is. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so over to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And in chapter 6, what else do we know? There's no neutrality. And no, for or against. That's what I'm going to say. Go on. Chapter 6, if I can, in chapter 6, going to verse 24. You know the context. No man cannot serve two masters, for either he will love the one, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate, I think it's better, the one and love the other. Unless he hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot do both. You cannot serve. Impossible. I can't do it. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't. The world's one thing and God's another. God is saving you out of the world's system. Therefore, Mammon, what is trusted in, what is valued. That's a Chaldean word. What is valued? What is trusted in? So we're trusting in what? We're trusting in our life on earth. The context of Matthew chapter 6, sliding if I can, without reading it, but getting the idea of it, you'll catch it. Mammon. What is mammon? Mammon's caught up with riches and wealth and everything. It's trying to survive on planet Earth. And therefore, when you read verse 25, it isn't about your life, what you eat, and what you should drink. It isn't about what you put on, clothes, etc. And it isn't. It isn't about a thousand things. And you slide all the way down, to verse 28. Take no thought, don't be divided in your mind, about clothing. Consider lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them, these lilies. Verse 31, 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith. That's all about what? What's the point? You're caught up in the things of earth. Let me keep reading it. You'll see it. Verse 31. Take no thought. Don't be divided in your mind. What you shall eat, or what you should drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed? Your normal, you're trying to survive. You're trying to survive in the system, by the system, by its riches and wealth and everything. Everything the system provides to give you all of the comforts and life's support, physical life support. And that's what you're doing. And that's what you do. And you can't serve that system and God. You can't do it. It's war. And, sliding down, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God isn't disconnecting you from planet and your needs. He's trying to tell you that he is, like we did this morning, he's the Father. And the Father takes care of his own. That's what the Father does. So here's, and you got to trust God. God knows what you need. You don't know what you need. No offense, neither do I. How do you know which vitamin you need? For sure. Selenium? Potassium. I don't know what vitamin it is. Well, I would take them, aren't they? See. I take them all, so I can't say. Say whatever one does it, fine. What are you doing? We do what we do. We're doing. We're trying to what? Survive. And we're doing all of this. Busy. Trying to make, we exercise. And nothing wrong with any of these things. But we're counting on them. We should be counting on God. Our relationship to God. Why? Because God knows about the food and the diet and everything in your body. No one knows your metabolism like God does. And God has made your body so wonderful. Whether you live in some place all you have is rice, and some other place you all you have spaghetti, whatever you live, and you eat. And somehow, did you ever have beets? Blue beets, red beets, green beets? You know? No, we never have them. See, we have no, you gotta have all the colors. See, okay. Wonderful. What happens if you don't? Your body lasts. That's why sometime in history, you live a long time, if you've been deficient in a given something, your body is made to survive a long time, but eventually it catches up to you. And now that particular item, vitamin you need, you've been deficient and you need to supply it. And your body is just depleted. So you got to find what is it that's missing. See? Now, so here we are going, and mammon, we're caught up in it. And God says, listen, your Father knows what you need. So we aren't talking about being indifferent or careless or thing about everything. No, we're trying to be involved. But we want to be involved on God's side, not on the world's side, the dark side, Satan's side. We don't want to be in that side. We want to be in God's side. God knows what we need. The world on the dark side doesn't know. They don't. They leave God out. And therefore, verse 34. Take no, therefore, no thought, divided mind, for the tomorrow, shall take thought. In other words, there's enough to worry about and think about tomorrow for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, the trouble thereof. You got enough problems surviving today, and you trust God. They have no idea about the food, your system's running at war, and you can't possibly, with the trillions, I'm sure it's trillions, somehow, cells and everything, all going busy, busy, busy inside of you. How do you even conceive of that? You can't. It's called, it's a war. And God, as long as it's winning, we feel good. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, trusting you in the most wonderful way, God and mammon. So we don't want to get caught up. Chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. God tell us to us again, because we are to have peace, but our peace is in war. Every time you enjoy the peace of God, you're at war all around you. The war never goes away. And when you're at war, the peace is always there. When you're in trusting God, the peace. Always war. When you're looking and in the war, God's always there for peace. Always there. Compensate. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, so having said that, Matthew chapter 10, picking up in verse 34. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against their mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household, etc., etc. And it goes on. A wonderful, wonderful section. But just think and understand, there's no neutrality. No neutrality. Now, if you understand, I'm either for me or against me. There's no neutrality. You can't serve God and the system. You can't do it. Therefore, we're ready to Revelation. And in chapter 3, we read it, we know it, but now look at it. And in Revelation chapter 3, picking up, please. Remember, the chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation gives you an overview of church history with using seven literal churches in Asia Minor. Now, so when we come to the seventh, the end of the church age, which is where we are right now, 5 minutes of 12, etc. Now, so therefore, one of the conditions, they've been this way, they've gotten worse. If you go back 50 years ago, I see it one way. I look out the window today, it's a whole other way. It's all a big change. We're moving. Right. It's not like it was in any way. And we're the losers for it. There's wonderful, wonderful revivals and fellowships and radio programs and everything. They're all gone. Bye-bye. All gone. Now, so here we are. Revelation, Laodicea, verse 14. Unto the angel, the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, our Lord himself. I know, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee, vomit thee out of my mouth. I'm not happy with it. You can't be neutral. You can't be neutral. Do you understand? And God says, if you're a human being, I don't want to be in the middle. I don't want to be. I want to be okay. So I just want an illustration. Think of a faucet. Hot faucet and a cold faucet. You got them, two faucets. Now, does anyone have a warm faucet? Does anyone have a warm faucet? No, you only have a hot faucet and a cold faucet. And why is that? Because us humans don't want to be hot or cold. And we want to be able to go and turn the hot on and the cold on and neutralize everything. We want to make it so we can handle it. We don't want it too cold. We don't want it too hot. God said it's either hot or cold. Do you understand? There is no neutrality. And people are trying to find the middle of everything. Intolerant. They're trying to find the middle. That's what they want to do. They want the middle of everything. To be neutral. To be neither hot or cold. And God said that's horrible. Because there's only two conditions. You're either for me or against me. You're either saved or you're not saved. There are no other positions. So as humans, they need to be saved. Or whatever. But we don't want to think like that. We don't want to think like that. We want to be, it's all right. I go to church. I read my devotion. I do it. I want to be neutral. I want to have it. I want to have my cake and eat it. I want to be able to do everything that I want to do. That's carnality. That's the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit so that you cannot do the things that you want. And God said, I hate that. I hate it. I vomit. Because we're trying to be neutral. And you can't be neutral. You're either for them or against them. You're either saved or you're not saved. You see? Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, go over to Galatians in chapter 6. Paul answers the question for us, as you know. Galatians in chapter 6. And in the process, Galatians 6, going directly in the, remember they're now trying to influence the believers, the Galatian believers, to find a neutral place, to be saved and not saved, to be circumcised and not circumcised. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, said Paul, save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world system is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. And the world system, Paul said, God has condemned the world system. He's showing grace to save everyone in the world system that they can be saved. That's God's waiting, giving space. So don't be hot or cold. Don't be hot or cold. Be one or the other. You're never going to get saved neutral. You're never going to go anywhere neutral. They're not good and good. How'd you have to go to war? We can't have you go to war with saying. We can't. It's a silly illustration. Here's the bad guys out there. And the bad guys are there. And here's the war, whatever you got to do. And you can't say, God, you know, I would my own side men, and in the process, I'm handing in whatever I'm supposed to be doing here, And I really don't want to do that because I really like those guys over there, you see. I like them as the bullets are flying, see. And I like them, see. Well, you may like them. But if you don't shoot back, you're going to die. So you got to shoot back. So you want to be neutral. You want to be neutral. There's all kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, you see. Name them, one after another. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with a little bit? Don't they believe, you see? And you go up and down. You can go to Congregationalists, the Baptists, Methodists, etc. What's wrong? See, we want to be neutral. We don't have to be really clear. You're either for me or against me. That has to be clear. There's no question. Are you for him or against him? I'm for him. I'm saved. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Paul says, I see the world crucified and condemned, and the world sees me crucified as Christ on the cross, a shameful thing. And the world looks at a believer and says, we just read it in Peter. They're going to think you're evil. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do that in the process. That's what they're going to do. Think you're evil. What'd you do? Nothing. You just I choose God, the only God, the only Savior. The only right thing to do is get saved, since he created me to be saved. Now, so therefore, in the process, over if I can, in your Bible, over to Romans in chapter 5. Now, God, what are we going to do? God, here's peace in war, and war in peace. They go to just like that. You can't have peace without being in the war, and you can't be in the war without being in peace. Because if you're saved, wonderfully saved, look at this. Here's a personal exercise which you know. Chapter 5, the book of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful one. We who were enemies of God are now on his side of the fence. We're with him. We're for God. By whom, verse 2, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God has given us a wonderful resource in the midst of the war so that we can be winning. We don't have to be losing. We don't have to get depressed, defeated, disappointed, discouraged. We don't have to do that and try to say, well, who knows what's right? What is the truth anyway? God knows what the truth is. The truth is that when we don't make anything true, do we? Your belief doesn't make anything true. It either is what it is or it ain't. It isn't what it is. Simple as that. Right is right. And wrong is wrong. Now, whatever you want to do with it. Now, so therefore, if I can, Romans chapter 5, what is the exercise? Well, we got a war and we got peace. Peace in war and war in peace. Now, God, how do we handle that lust, that war that's in our heart? And picking up, please, if I can, in verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. God gives us all kinds of precious, squeezing trouble. He allows all this. Being in the world, the world's going to come after you in the dark. The darkness hates the light. So in the process of that, in other words, you're not going to be comfortable. The world isn't comfortable resting on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ in God's word. They're not comfortable. And that's where you want to be resting, on God's word, in Christ Jesus, resting on it. They are not going to rest there. They're just not going to rest there. But you are. That's the difference. Now, so therefore, tribulation, verse 3. And tribulation knowing the tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. There's patience, bearing up under the load, the enduring the situation, conditions. Patience in experience, putting on trial, back to, you know, to turn there, Judges, chapters 1, 2, and 3, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Prove, I'm going to prove Israel. I'm going to help them by what? Having them go to war. I'm going to leave the bad guys. Why couldn't you get rid of the bad guys? Because the bad guys will, you're living. As long as you're on planet Earth, you're at war. And if you think somehow that it's not going to be, you're going to have you understand you need to be realistic in your life about your health, your wealth, your coming and going, your work, your home, your school. Be realistic about it. It's a war. Politics, where isn't politics? Where isn't power? Where isn't people playing to be king of the mountain? Where is it? It's everywhere. Washington and all over. Big time. Everywhere. Where are you going to go? Well, you can't. You have to go, and God has to help us. And so therefore, God's going to deal with our head and our heart, and he's going to put us to the proof. So we have to live in it. And that's what for. So what? Are we going to be in God's side or the world's side? Are we going to take a pick? Where am I going to go? I'm going to be trusting God in the midst of all that's going on. I'm not going to fix it. I can't fix it. I can't change what happens in Saudi Arabia or anything else. God has to do what he's doing with Israel, with people that are sick and dying, troubled things. I can't. It isn't my... I'm not God. You're not God. God's God. And you want him to be God. I want to be in God's side. I don't want to be in the devil's side, on the world's side. I don't want to be like that. So now, experience. Verse 4. Patience, experience. Experience being put to the proof on trial. And experience being put to the proof on trial produces a wonderful hope, expectancy, anticipation. And hope, anticipation maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, in our heart, and by the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is given unto us, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. What's he going to do? He's going to give us a wonderful, wonderful exercise. And in the exercise, what are you going to do? What is the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to put to the proof all that God has made possible, our Lord on Calvary's cross. What are you going to do for us, Spirit of God, as we look to you and we're going to go through it, hang in there, stay in God's side, understandable, darkness, light, right and wrong, good and evil. I got it, a little. So God, I'm going to go and look to you. And in looking to you, the Spirit of God's going to honor what? Honor the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, you'd recall. And in verse 33, remember, just picking up our word tribulation, trial. Verse 16, 33, the end of that section. These things have I spoken unto you, purpose, that in me, in Christ, you might have, what? Peace. But in the world, war. In me, you'll have peace. Peace, no matter what the war. Peace, always peace. Always peace. Thank God who made it, given us peace with God. Made given. Therefore, verse 33 again. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Pressure, squeezing, the same word. Same word. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. What's the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to tell you. He's going to help us overcome. That's why when you read each Revelation chapter 2 and 3, here's all of the seven churches in church history. And when you come at the end of each one of them, you can turn there. Hang on to this place. Hang on to John. Go back over to Revelation. And I can say it, maybe, but see it. It's a wonderful thing, actually. Revelation chapter 2, each time. And you'll notice, please, chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will he give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, in the midst of the paradise of God. Every time the Spirit of God is trying to give us information, and then he tells us, you can overcome. You are victorious. Stay on God's side in the war. Don't be neutral. Don't be trying to go on the other side either. Don't love the world. If you love the world, you're an enemy of God. The love of the Father is not in you. John, 1 John. So I don't want to love the world. I don't love the world. I don't love the system. The system is bankrupt. It's not going to do a thing for me. Even if I get a good job and I get whatever. I could even be like different people, a billionaire, whatever. So what? So what? The grave's going to look the same to all of us, no matter how you cut the cookie. So now, back over to John. Back over to John and to chapter 14. And you will notice, please, John and chapter 14. Picking up, after this, John 14, and I meant to do that, chapter 14 and in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm giving you my peace. My peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I'm going to give you my peace. About what? Everything's in upheaval. Big storm, wind, snow, sleet, rain, all at once. Everything's crooked, everything's cuckoo, all over the place. And then there's God. Calm, quiet, at peace. None of it disturbs God. Nothing disturbs God. Nothing. Why? God said, I will keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. I will turn there. I didn't mean to lose it all. I'm sorry. We'll close with that. Hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. We're in war. There's no way out of it. Neutrality. And everyone's trying to be more or less neutral. And nice. Be nice. Be nice people. And that doesn't mean you have to be bad or nasty, but you're nice. You're nice. I'm on God's side, you're on the other side. And if you push your side, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to stay with God, no matter what you do. And you're going to have to get through the peace of God, Philippians 4:7. You're going to get through the Philippians to get to me. You've got to get through God. God's going to keep me in perfect peace. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Picking up, please. Verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep, keep, keep. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom, perfect peace, perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee. Why? I'm going to think and honor God and trust God and thank God. The end of verse 3. Because he trusteth in God. The believing heart is trusting in God, resting in God, resting down like you do in the pew. You're resting down, the pew's holding, and that's what you do. And God will keep the perfect peace. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord, ye in the Lord, forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Wonderful. God, remember we just said this morning, remind ourselves what we did the other day in prayer meeting. Jehovah God, the name, and the special name, Exodus 6, special name for God, for Israel, Jehovah God, Yahweh. God is going to be, roll up his sleeves, and be special to Israel. And we shared it this morning. Perhaps we got it. God said, I am to be your father. I am God. I'm going to be to you, Father. That's what we just read. God, stay on God's side. And the Father said, don't worry about what the other side says. Don't matter. It doesn't matter what they're doing, how they win, how. Darkness is horrible. War is horrible. But you're in one. And there's no way out of it. So don't try to say, I'm not in one. So when you're laying in bed and it's nice and peaceful, there's a war on. And you're going to thank God. Thank God. There's a war on. But God, the battle is yours. The battle is yours, God. And I will keep you, God said, in perfect peace if your mind is resting on me. So don't worry about the roof coming off at night. Don't worry about the hurricane taking everything away. Don't worry about a fire. Be careful, but don't worry about a fire. Don't do that. I will keep you in perfect peace as your mind is resting on me. And you're going to proceed in the war to the glory of God, to be an overcomer. Wonderful. Peace in war, and war in peace. No way out of it. No neutrality. I hate, you either be hot or cold. I hate lukewarmness. Because it's non-existent. There is no such thing as lukewarmness. It's either right or wrong. Truth is either blah, blah, right or wrong, good or bad. There is no neutral. That's why you either trust God or you don't. There's no 50. I'm trusting God 50%. I'm trusting God 50%. I'm trusting me 50%. There is no such thing. There is no neutrality. I'm either going to be my flesh trying to do what I'm going to do because I want to do it anyway, or I'm going to trust God with thanksgiving and proceed looking to God with my whole heart. There's no neutral in this. I got to do it with my whole heart. God, thank you with my whole heart. Not thank you and thank you some other. No, I'm not trusting anything else. Thank God for doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. But trust God. Trust God. We got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness, and God, help us understand a little bit of the realities that are so real, and yet in our little normal existence, we don't even pay attention to the war that's going on. God, the wars, plural, that are going on, and all the things that are happening right now all over the world. And God, we just do our little thing as if we're just separate from everything. On the contrary, God, we're right in the middle of it. So thank you very, very much. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for caring. And Spirit of God, thank you for your patience. Help us to learn well. In Christ's name, Amen.